The Guardian. You probably think you've heard everything you want to about emojis. Depending on your generation or the subcultures to which you belong, they're either a fun personal shorthand you occasionally use with friends, or they herald the death of formal language as we know it. But emblems and signs have played a role in human communication since time immemorial. What does it mean to conceive of emoji as just another part of the rich history of human language? I'm Leigh Alexander, and this week on Chips with Everything, our guest is Professor Vivian Evans, author of a new book called The Emoji Code: How Smiley Faces, Love Hearts, and Thumbs Up Are Changing the Way We Communicate.
The study of language is the study of how we communicate, and using language as a window into the human mind, and what makes us different, I think, from other species. Focus of study in terms of linguistics is why languages are similar, why they're different, how languages vary across the world. We know they range in terms of variety around 7,000 spoken languages, but language is not restricted to a particular medium. So there are signed languages. There are also languages that it's possible to visually represent a language. So there's a language called Bliss Symbolics, which is a visual language. So languages vary greatly, and they reflect interesting features about the human mind.
Of course, language, that's to say, complex communication that emerges from the interaction of vocabulary with rules, is one of the things that distinguishes us as a species. Dr. Evans aims to be one of the first to study social media in particular from a linguistics point of view.
One of the questions that I often get asked is social media a force for dumbing down? You know, is it sort of taking us backwards? Is it a backwards step? But I think this kind of concern fundamentally misunderstands the nature of communication. In terms of communication, I think the default mode in terms of thinking about this is the spoken face-to-face interactional mode. And we often think that language is the mover and the shaker in the world of communication, that language itself carries meaning. But in fact, a lot of meaning, so emotional expression, for example, comes not from language, but from other sorts of cues. So from facial expression, from gesture. And one of the interesting things in terms of studying social media is looking at and understanding better the non-linguistic, the non-verbal cues that we use when we communicate with one another using social media. And I think that's where something like emoji is very important.
So I'm here with my producer, Ian Chambers. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Hi. So now when I told you we were going to do an emoji episode, what was your reaction?
You know, from my perspective, I just get assailed with the same old ones, you know, like smiley faces, you know, and lots of thumbs up. And I just think, oh, what's the point?
But well, here it's important to note also you don't have a smartphone. It's a running issue here on Chips with Everything that Ian is a vintage phone user and so maybe hasn't been able to participate in the full range of the graphical emoji keyboard, right?
That is true. I've never sent one and I wouldn't be able to on my phone. I think actually it starts converting brackets and full stops into emojis if you want them to. But yeah, I've never seen the point. So I can't reciprocate, can't join in the fun. I have seen some people using them in, you know, quite creative ways, synthesizing several together, and I can sort of see the logic in that. But what sort of ensnared me into them from this discussion is the idea of how harsh your text can appear through email and digits, and that thing that of softening it with emojis is a really attractive idea.
Right, and we'll discuss that further with Dr. Evans in a moment. But the point is there's actually a lot of literacy involved in the use of these platforms, and more to it than meets the eye, Dr. Evans says.
When internet slang and abbreviations and so on first came to the fore in the early 2000s, really, late 1990s, early 2000s, LOL and all the rest of it, one of the things that the naysayers and the doom mongers sort of said was that, you know, this is, you know, leading to illiteracy, because if you're abbreviating like this, then you know, it's a backward step, you can't spell anymore. But in fact, research shows that to actually be able to use the abbreviations, you actually have to know how to spell in the first place. And in fact, this helps us communicate more effectively and more quickly in terms of digital speak.
When we come back, Dr. Evans tells us the story of the first emoji terror threat. This is Chips with Everything, the digital culture show from The Guardian. Stick with us. We'd like to recommend another great podcast from The Guardian, Politics Weekly. If you're keen to keep abreast of UK and international news and politics, then this podcast is for you. The team unwind the spin and delve into the key issues that drive the people in power. To find out more, go to guardian.com/podcasts or search Politics Weekly in your favorite podcasting app. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. This is Lee Alexander. Our guest this week is Professor Vivian Evans, author of a new book on the role emojis are playing in our evolving human language landscape. That book is called The Emoji Code, and there'll be more information on that for you in the show notes. Dr. Evans conducted a study in 2015, one which he says was a world first, on usage patterns related to emoji. He says that 2015 was the year emoji went full mainstream, with the Oxford Dictionary naming an emoji its word of the year. That would be the laughing till you cry face emoji, suggesting this particular dictionary wanted to recognize the importance of this symbol in our expressive written vocabulary. But it's not all smiles. What do you think? Is it possible to make a threat, like a legal, actionable threat, using only emoji? Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, it seems a bit weird to me. I think that they seem very cartoony and light and fluffy, and that's probably why I'm kind of not into them. But the idea of being threatened by them seems pretty far-fetched to me. I haven't even seen any negative emojis, have you?
Absolutely, yeah. There's hundreds of them. There's guns, blood, needles, different types of money, stacks of cash flying away. There's some that, you know, look like explosions, look like fireworks. So even though, you know, each of these is individually a small cartoon, if we decide that each of these images corresponds to a thought or a phrase or intention, perhaps combining them in order, you know, could suggest some kind of sinister message on the part of the user.
Do you get an emotional response when you see emojis, or is it slightly aloof and sort of cartoon-like?
Well, that's just it, really, and we don't actually even have to speculate, because there was an actual case Dr. Evans was invited to weigh in on, writing a column for us here at The Guardian on an incident in the US that saw a teen arrested.
So this was a young African-American who was perhaps understandably concerned about the spate of killings. So often white American police officers shooting unarmed black men, typically. And what he did was he posted a series of public Facebook status updates in which he posed revolver emojis facing a police officer emoji. This was reported by, I think, a member of the NYPD as an alleged threat against the NYPD, and the New York District Attorney issued an arrest warrant for the young man, and he was arraigned before a grand jury, who ultimately declined to indict him on the alleged charge, which was terroristic threat using emoji.
I think it would have been pretty scary if something like that had been ruled a legal threat rather than an act of expression. Of course, every emoji keyboard I know of now shows a toy water gun in the place where the real pistol icon used to be, just to be absolutely clear.
But this, you know, caused quite a lot of controversy. There was, in fact, a later incident in France where someone was, in fact, convicted and sentenced to 3 months in jail, actually, under the French Penal Code. This was in 2016 for issuing a death threat against his former girlfriend.
So according to Dr. Evans, at the heart of the discussion in cases like these is the function of the communication systems. So firstly, there's an ideational function whereby you're using the system to convey an idea or a thought.
If you are posing a revolver and facing it towards a police officer, that might mean, you know, a range of things. It could be that you're not happy with the police officer and you're threatening violence of some kind. If you send someone a picture of a smiley face, it might mean, in terms of from an ideational perspective, in terms of the idea you're trying to get across, that you're happy. To contextualize this a bit more, if I bang my head in the cupboard in the kitchen, I want to send an idea to someone via SMS and I'm looking for sympathy, I might say, hey, I banged my head on the cupboard. At the end of this sentence, I put a crying face, and I'm hoping to get a text message back with someone providing lots of tender, loving care and saying, oh, poor you, and all the rest of it.
Or theoretically, we use these systems to influence one another or to change aspects of the world. That's another function.
We all do this all the time. So, you know, if I say to a student at the university, please shut the door on the way out, what I'm trying to do is influence the person's behavior by using language. And this is the second function. This is the intentional function associated with either emoji or language. And in terms of the case of the 17-year-old teenager from Brooklyn in New York, the question turned on whether, in addition to conveying an idea, in addition, was this guy, in essence, threatening an act of violence or attempting to incite others to carry out acts of violence against New York's finest. And the grand jury decided ultimately that that wasn't the intention.
So now, even though we're here talking about the role of emoji in language, Professor Evans says it's important to note that emoji is not a language in and of itself.
What makes something a language is that it has a relatively complex set of vocabulary items that can convey a range of semantic ideas. And then you need a grammar system, a set of rules that allows you to move the vocabulary around to convey complex ideas. Emoji is not a language in that sense.
But that doesn't mean it couldn't be a language.
People have imbued emoji with a grammar. So people have translated emoji into things like Alice in Wonderland, for example, a story of 27,500 words into around 25,000 emojis, and actually given it a grammar. So it is impossible in principle to make emoji language-like.
But the most powerful thing about it, he says, is that emoji can serve a function of intonation. You might think that language accounts for most of our communication, but Professor Evans says that 60 to 70% of our emotional expression comes from non-language cues. Your voice, your gestures, your IRL laughing while crying face.
We know that there are 43 facial muscles that allow us to produce over 10,000 distinct facial expressions, which we all are adept as individuals in terms of interpreting others' emotions. Now, one of the powerful things about emoji and the research that I've sort of uncovered is that emoji fulfills this kind of function. It puts the emotion back into digital communication that's otherwise missing. One of the dangers with respect to text-based digital communication is that it sucks the empathy out of what we're trying to convey. And this happens quite a lot. People can really sound mad and shouty as if they're really angry when they're sending a simple email. And the problem with email and other short forms of digital communication, digital text, is that they suck the empathy out of the message. Now, empathy is what drives and oils effective communication. It's the ability to put oneself into the other person's sort of perspective and shoes, so to speak.
So now, Ian, this is what you were saying was interesting to you about this interview. Do you feel also that a face or a picture could be a way to make textual communication a little more multitonal and complex?
Yeah, I think that maybe the emoji for me isn't the right vehicle for it, but I think the idea, the concept behind it, behind this softening, behind using other non-text-based cues in a communication could be really useful. We've all had emails from people that we've found very personable and the email comes across especially harsh and you perceive the meaning differently or completely wrongly sometimes, and whereas a phone conversation would have sorted that out. You could really imagine a situation where a new generation of visual cues comes with your communication, so maybe showing the sort of emotional temperature of your email or your text.
Exactly. You know, when we see faces or when we register a gesture or an expression, we are more likely to empathize, and that complex bundle of visual calls and responses does usually get stripped away from the things we type.
Emojis provide very effective visual expressions of emotion, really, and I think that's very, very, very powerful. One thing we also know is that human beings very much do require and rely on visuals. I mean, Facebook, for example, is driven by visual representation. 300 million images are uploaded every day. And we know that from neuroscientific research on the brain, that 2/3 of our brain's neural activity when our eyes are open relates to vision. 40% of the brain's nerve fibers relate to the retina, for example, and it takes just a fraction of a second, 100 milliseconds to recognize an object. So an emoji is a powerful visual representation that's very simple, that we can grasp almost instantaneously, that is a powerful conveyor of emotion, in some ways more powerful than words, especially in digital communication.
For me, where this gets really interesting is that you can add another layer to your emoji communication by ascribing meanings to certain symbols only like within your own small social circle or even a large community. Emoji keyboards, for example, contain pictures of all kinds of fruit and vegetables, but collectively, a lot of us seem to have decided that the eggplant or aubergine symbol means something a little rude. Should we be censoring eggplants for the children?
Any form of communication adapts, and humans adapt to it, and in turn, repurpose the vocabulary items, for want of a better word. The eggplant or the aubergine is a very, very good example of this, because this is used as part of the vocabulary of the sexting subculture, for example. Plants and flowers seem to be apt for representing aspects of the human anatomy. And interestingly, the eggplant was, the aubergine was censored by Instagram, of all things. When Instagram initiated a search facility using emoji, users very soon noticed that the eggplant aubergine emoji was missing. You couldn't use it. The search function had been banned. Subsequently, Instagram relented because this raises the specter of censorship, which obviously is uncool and not good at all.
The cultural variations and the ways different symbols cross societies is also super interesting. Emoji that originated in Japan have been widely reinterpreted in the West. You know the prayer hands emoji? In Japan, it means please. But in the West, we most commonly use it to mean thank you or I'm blessed. In either place, it never had much relationship to the act of prayer at all.
I think one of the most interesting, for my money, is the twin girls with bunny ears emoji. In Japanese culture, this, of course, relates to a subservient female sort of sex symbol, and it relates back to late 1950s Playboy Enterprises in the US, which was appropriated into Japanese culture, so a symbol of female sexual subservience and so on. But interestingly, going back now into the West, it's often reinterpreted as a symbol of female emancipation. So women might send this to one another to symbolize a girls' night out, ditching the guys, sisterly solidarity with girls out on the town. So it's quite interesting that that symbol has been reappropriated and repurposed as a symbol of emancipation and almost feminism. So I think that's pretty cool and interesting.
So funny, because I use the twin bunnies a lot with my gal pals when we're planning to go out together. And recent updates have now added twin boy bunnies as well. I guess, you know, solidarity and party time has to be an equal opportunity concept. So lack of a smartphone aside, do you think that you might start warming to the use of emojis in your textual communication, Ian?
Yeah, I reckon I'm still not sold on the emoji per se, but I really am excited by the idea that this could progress into something really useful, that we, you know, somehow are able to reflect the emotions that we're typing or texting as we go, and that this ultimately leads us to a more nuanced form of communication and, you know, gets rid of that problem that you have with digital text.
That's true. And like it or not, emoji are here to stay. They are part of our modern lexicon. And Professor Evans says to expect that they'll keep evolving.
I think probably dynamic emojis are the way forward. I speak to a lot of app developers and software developers, tech companies and startups. And there are some really interesting and innovative software developments. And I think probably my guess would be that we will see much more integration in terms of text and visual moving images, and probably moving avatar-like emojis whereby we can represent ourselves and our facial expressions and our emotions using emojis almost in real time when we're communicating. So watch this space.
Thank you so much for joining us for Chips with Everything, the digital culture podcast from The Guardian. Our guest today has been Professor Vivian Evans, author of The Emoji Code, and we'll link you to where you can learn more about this book in our show notes. I'm Leah Alexander, and my producer and guest has been Ian Chambers.
Goodbye.
If you like our show, please give us a rating and review to help more folks find us. You can subscribe to Chips with Everything, as well as our other great Guardian shows, through iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. And if you have a neat story about technology and society for us, get in touch at guardianchips@gmail.com. See you next time.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.